forever.
Dog. Welcome to Let's Go, Let's Go. Who's making sourdough bread? Who's making banana bread? Who's shaving their heads? I haven't done any of those things. The quarantine hasn't changed me. Whew. Welcome to another edition of Let's Go, Let's Go at Home. This week we have Lauren Lopkis, whom you might have seen on Crashing or on Orange is the New Black, or you can catch her now on Good Girls. We had Lauren on our live show with Cameron Esposito and KC Lai. Now, she didn't win, but she left an impression that was unforgettable. You love her, and I can't wait for you to get to know her more. But first, if you're enjoying Let's Go, Let's Go at Home, you can watch mini video clips that we post on our socials, or you can watch longer versions on our Patreon at patreon.com/letsgoatsuko. Join the fam today, and make sure to give our podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Without further ado, here's the episode. It's Let's Go, Let's Go.
And I'm in quarantine.
At home.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to be here with my guest, Lauren Lopkis. Ooh, wow, crowd goes up. Thank you for joining me.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for having me.
Keeping my head together, you know, acting like everything is normal, like with all of these things surrounding me.
And they're normally just looming behind you at all times.
I would love that for, you know, I would love for that to be like my reality. And I think it's turning into my reality where, you know, if I'm going to talk to people like this through a laptop, you know, I might as well like have that reality at least be true.
I agree. I need something like that. I only have advertisements of myself behind me. So I think
it's good. You're on brand.
That's true. I'm very on brand.
And it's selling. We're going to dive into this if it's okay.
Yes.
Well, let's do a quick check. Like how are you doing? Are you good emotionally and physically?
Yeah, actually I think this week is the best I've felt emotionally and physically maybe too, but I feel like I had a couple weeks there of just like complete terror all the time, and now I'm kind of like adjusting to living in my house all the time and not going anywhere, and I feel calmer, but yeah.
I saw you post that clip art where it's like, things I cannot control, but things I can control.
Mm-hmm. I really loved that. It's just like a little piece of art that kind of just reminds you that you can't control if other people are wearing a mask or if they're staying home or if, you know, I mean, because I do have the tendency to want to yell at everyone outside to be better, but I know that's not really my job, so.
You know, and it's like a teenager tendency with human beings too. Like if you tell them not to, they're gonna be like, well, fuck you, I will go to spring break.
yes, totally.
So I don't know if we have to do the opposite. Maybe we have to be like, go out, why aren't you leaving your house? And then maybe it'll be like a reverse psychology thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw right before starting this that some pastor like insisted on doing Easter, and then he died of coronavirus. Or maybe not Easter, because that would have been too fast, but he did a service recently, and then he was like,
yeah,
we have to meet and we have to do this and it's fine, and then he died. And it's like, it's just so hard to watch stuff like that happen and think like, that's so preventable, like let's just go to church through Zoom. Like everyone, a lot of people are doing that. And I think that's really cool.
Can you imagine though, if it was Easter and it was like a special case where it took one day to take him out? Oh my God, that might have a huge effect. Like
yeah,
people would listen.
That would really tell you how fast this thing works. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he was at service yesterday and then today he was gone.
This is how like misinformation spreads though, because I just saw that.
No,
and
true.
I told you it as if it was yesterday. It was like he did it on Easter, and then I'm like, well, wait, I didn't even read that. That's not even true. Like I don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh my
you
God.
You know what's crazy, Lauren, is my father-in-law is a televangelist.
Oh wow.
So he is a preacher of the preachers, you know, and yeah. I don't know if I can disclose. Yeah, because he was public about it. It was on live stream. He was at freaking church, at a mega church.
I can't believe that's real. I can't believe they even would like open the doors.
So the pews were empty. So he was
We
were like, he was like, I'm very proud to say the pews were empty, no congregation there. But I was like, the stage, and I saw the stage. I was like, the stage is packed though.
Oh, so they were, wow. Well, so I had a friend who lives in Chicago, and he posted a picture of the people across the street from him, just a bunch of parents and their kids, and they were all running around and all standing by each other. And I was like, they're not 6 feet. Like I told him, like, get a megaphone. Like, this is my desire is to, like, scream out the window. Like, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. When he said that, I pictured, he said, they're not 6 feet. I just pictured you being like, they're not 6 feet tall.
And everyone has to be 6 feet tall right now.
They're just so tiny. But they're just so tiny though. And so that's why it was like, yeah, I was like, okay, maybe I can't tell other people what to do, but I can do the things that were in the small circle that you've posted.
Yeah, the things in your own control. And it is helpful to keep in mind, because I think I get very overwhelmed by thinking about everything and then I can't do anything.
Yeah. One of the things that was in the middle of the clip art was limiting social media. I was like, is that something Lauren's trying to do, or was it just in the clip art?
Oh my God. I'm literally on so much. Like, ever since this has happened, I've like been like, I now can be on my phone 24 hours a day. Like, it's like my freedom from within the quarantine. I'm allowed to do that, I guess. It's definitely very bad for me. I mean, I've started playing Animal Crossing. I don't know if you're on there, but that's been a life changer.
I saw you were on there. I saw that you were on there. Also clocked that the device you had was pretty big. Is that your phone?
No. That's the Switch.
Oh, it's
Nintendo
Switch.
So it's like a big like Game Boy kind of thing, but it's fun. I got very addicted to that, and that's been my break from my phone is going onto the Nintendo Switch. And then when I take a break from that, it's either my computer or the TV. So there's never a time when a screen is not in front of my face during the quarantine.
Yeah. No, same here. Yeah.
Are you on your phone a lot?
I'm on my phone. I'm on my laptop. I got one in front of me, one I'm talking to you on, and this screen that you're on. Woo! Yeah, this is, I'm become very high maintenance with technology.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But Switch is next. You know, I'm going to switch it up and get it.
It's really fun. I heard they've been like, people have been jacking up the prices of the Switch, like in the quarantine, everyone is crazy like this. I don't understand this mentality of like, well, I could charge people way more for this right now. Like, oh, come on.
Yeah, totally. I know how supply and demand works, but right now is the time to practice empathy. Switch, if you're listening, I'm about to just switch to Twitch, you know, and that's my boycott. But it's fine. You're talking about individual sellers. Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's not.
But they're
Switch.
Apparently that's... sold out. Like, so it's hard to get them. So you have to get them through these like third party people or something.
I'll just have to wait for your posts about Animal Crossing to see how you're doing.
It's all you need. Just looking at everyone's posts about it, I feel like you probably have picked up enough information and you're fine.
Yeah. So speaking of like things that I didn't get on board with probably in time because now it's too expensive to buy a Switch, you co-host Newcomers with Nicole Byer.
Yes.
And where you watch Star Wars for the first time together.
Yeah.
Because it's something you've missed out on your entire life.
Yeah, we just avoided it with our whole hearts and never wanted to watch this franchise, which is never ending. And now we're like pretty deep into it. We've seen most of the movies and it's been very interesting. Like at first we truly like wanted to quit after the first movie. Have you seen all Star Wars? Like, do you care about Star Wars?
I haven't watched all of it too. It was just pure peer pressure that I have watched any or two.
Yeah. Yeah. So we watched the first one together and we were both so bored that we were like, we should quit this podcast before we even start. Like, this is like not for us. This is bad. And then talking about it with people has really helped. And so every episode we have on like a comedian who like cares about Star Wars and they kind of play not even devil's advocate, because we like a lot of the movies now. We actually have found a lot of things to like, but they help fill us in on like why things are important in the universe of Star Wars and what it meant to them as a child or what it means to them now. So it kind of gives it more weight, and it's not just us like shitting on it, but it is like, yeah, it has been a journey. Like, these movies are all like over 2 hours long. I don't know why.
They're so long that the long words that come up at the top, they weren't joking. It's going to be a long journey, you know, yes, and it's going to feel like everything's far away.
And they'll give you that crawl at the beginning and you read it. I mean, I'll read it out loud and I still won't know what it said or what it means. Like, and then having people on the show is so interesting, because I think like, okay, well, super fans can like explain this. And they're like, oh yeah, I still don't really get why that part happened. I'm like, wait, but you're like the fan. Like, don't you know? It's so confusing, but very fun.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you stuck with it. And I think it's super relatable to take that side of things where it's like, we don't know why this thing has been going on for a long time. And yeah, and I appreciate that so much. And it was so punk rock of you. By the way, it's very punk rock that you're like, we haven't done this franchise, you know? But as, I don't know if you've ever seen SLC Punks.
I haven't seen, isn't Matthew Lillard in that? I feel like I know that from like the VHS or something, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't remember. Know. It was like just a tiny glimpse. I watched it as a high school kid, uh-huh, when I thought I was like a punk rocker, you know? Cause I was like, fuck the man. But in the end of the movie, spoiler alert, I hope it's okay, one of the punk rockers takes a job in corporate America, and he goes,
not what I thought you were going to say at all.
Okay. Well, you know, high stakes in this movie. It's, are you punk or not? You know? Uh-huh. And in the end, he kind of sells out and has a job in corporate America. And he says to really fuck up the system, you got to do it from the inside. And that's kind of what you're doing.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe it, I guess I am really hardcore and I'm like a punk. And so, yeah, you're right.
I didn't mean to put such projection on you.
No, I'll take that. I mean, well, I do think there is the feeling that like when you're in the entertainment industry, you can't say you don't like something. Like, I think a lot of people, and I always feel like I can't publicly say I don't like that movie or something. Like, it feels like it's insulting someone you might work with or something. With Star Wars, I never really said anything about it, but then watching it, I'm enjoying that we're voicing our real opinions, because then when we do like stuff, you actually know that we really like it. We're not just like saying that so we can be in a Star Wars movie. Like, I would love to be in a Star Wars movie if they are looking for someone, but
I can see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that would make sense in that, honestly, but we felt like, I think at first it was kind of scary to go like, oh, I hate this movie, because people love that stuff and they hate when people shit on it, but what are you gonna do?
No, totally. I didn't, you know, it was a very, while I was saying it, I was realizing it was a stretch, you know, SLC punks and newcomers. But
I think it's completely connected. I think it's not a stretch at all.
And I don't know if it's because you're wearing brown that I'm just like, yeah, I see you in that world, you know.
This is totally like a Star Wars Jedi robe kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah, you're like a merchant turned, and then you're actually the next Jedi. The next
that would
Jedi
be amazing if I was like a merchant and then like I pulled out like a fucking lightsaber, uh-huh, and just sliced a ton of people.
But I picture your character to have more depth, like you accidentally slice like your loved ones at first, and then
I realize my power, and then I like harness it.
Yeah, every hero's journey. Yeah. what are some other things that you've missed out on your life and like everyone's been on board?
Oh, God. So many things. I mean, Lord of the Rings feels like one of them.
Yeah.
A lot. Oh, like Breaking Bad. I've never seen that. That felt like I was really left out. Game of Thrones, I've never seen. Like, I watched the first and last episodes, because on my podcast Raised by TV, we sometimes would watch like something we've never seen and just watch the first and the last episode and try to guess what happens in the middle.
So, that's fun.
I watched Game of Thrones that way, but I feel like I get it, but... there are so many big shows that I just completely miss. Do you feel like you're like on the pulse with things, or do you kind of skip big shows like Breaking Bad or whatever?
I'm not on the pulse. Those shows you named, I'm like, God, I haven't caught up. or I've just skipped altogether. And it's just, I don't want to be the person who's watched it years later and I have no one to talk about it with.
I know. Well, that's the thing. It's like, if I start watching Breaking Bad right now, I'm like, holy shit, you guys, like season four, everyone's like, yeah, that was 20 years ago. Like, we don't care.
I got to say, it was pretty brave of you to name all those shows you have not seen. And I know. Just out loud like that.
It's really brave. I know. But I mean, even if you're kidding, that is kind of true, because I think people are there's so much in like the industry that we're in that people are afraid to like not know what something is or not have seen it or think it's bad. Like, I don't know. And it is like an uncomfortable thing, even with Raised by TV, because we were talking about TV so much. It was always like hard to walk that line of like shitting on something or just being like, I didn't love this. Like, you want to have an opinion, and I think it's fun. I like to have like really hyperbolic opinions of things and like, just go over the top. But like, it's then that it feels like you can kind of like screw yourself over by doing that, or that's the feeling people want to give you that you can't. I mean, do you feel this at all, that you feel like you can't say you don't like something in like pop culture?
You know, I've started to pull the immigrant card sometimes, you know, it's a lot. The language, so much language, a whole hour of Game of Thrones. And then they're like, yeah, that's right. And I'm like, yeah, you know, just three different languages happening in my head all the time. so I pull that, where, you know, or the like, oh, I have a grandma, you know, I just, hours at a time, you know, watching Game of Thrones when I could be hanging out with, I don't know how much longer she has. You know what I mean?
But, yeah.
So
does your grandma live with you?
Guilt go. My grandma is close. She's like 20 minutes away. She's the only person we've seen during this quarantine. So we're extra careful. Okay. We're like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. I didn't know from your Instagram if you guys live together or if you just live close. But that's really nice to have family nearby.
And that was a brave thing for me to say, you know, that we don't live together, but during this time we're breaking the rules, honestly, kind of.
Well, I think that's okay with the rules. Like, if you have a loop that's completely closed like that, and I'm sure because she's a senior citizen, you're not going to, like, you know, put her at risk. So it's truly she's just not, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
Thank
people
you,
who
Lauren.
Are doing. Yeah.
Hear that, haters? Yeah.
You guys need to calm down out there. Well, I think, I mean, I will scream at people about doing the wrong thing, but I also think there's certain things you just can't really work around. And like, your grandma probably lives alone or something. It's like, what are you going to do? Not like take care of her and stuff. I mean, there's ways you have to like break the rules or whatever.
Yeah, we bring her things at each time, mainly joy and company, you know.
Jewelry, furs.
Jewelry. I got to take the gold that she wants me to sell. She gave me a bag of gold recently, and it was so heavy. I was like, oh, excuse me. She was just like, here, don't. And I was like, what is this? She was like, gold, gold. I want you to go sell it. And so I'm like, okay, this is very a new territory for me.
Selling gold, yeah.
Do I do cash for gold? Do I go to a pawn shop?
I know. Well, I always feel like with that kind of thing, I wouldn't trust that the person was giving me as much as it was worth, because you just don't know.
Yeah. And it's like family heirlooms. So I'm just like, I might just like have a bag of gold in my house. How about that?
I feel like you should keep them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told her I'm working on selling it, but
that's good.
We're in a pandemic, so she won't, hopefully she just forgets.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a weird question, but is there anything of hers that you like really hope is like given to you, like later in life when she passes away? Is there like something that you're like, oh, my grandma has this thing that I've always loved?
Now, this is a trick question, because if she passes and I get those things, you know, in a short amount of time since we talked, you know, I would be a suspect. No, I don't have anything that like I've ever been like, God, I just, you know, that necklace, you know, but
yeah.
Because she doesn't really have much, but she has, no. How about you? Do you have?
Yeah, I guess I asked the question because I have a thing in my mind, but my grandma has like a portrait of her that I've always loved from the 60s in Vegas. And like they used to, apparently, I just learned the story recently, that apparently they used to, at hotels, sometimes there would be an artist who would I think that this was done in chalk. I actually have always thought that it was like an oil painting, but it's like chalk. But the person would draw it for you while you go out and do something, and then you come back the next day and it's like ready for you. And so she got a portrait done. And it's like, it's just so cool. It's just a super 60s like portrait. She has like a bouffant, you know, hairdo. And
yeah,
I just love it.
That's very special.
I also love actually knowing that it's even less fancy than I thought it was. Like as a kid, I always thought it was like this fancy oil painting that someone did of her. And I actually never really understood that it was her until I was older because she's young in it. And it's like hard to wrap your brain around that.
Right.
As a kid.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I've told her that I really love it and that I would like to have it one day. But yeah,
she's not gonna, you know, cremate herself with it, right?
Like, no, sure, I mean, I think she's open to giving it to me, and she was very flattered that I really wanted it. But there's a lot of family members, so I don't know what'll happen.
Right, it's kind of like who finds it. Well, I'm just thinking about that Rose's painting in Titanic.
Yeah.
I think that was that oil too. I feel like oil or chalk.
When he's like drawing her, he's drawing her. Is that what it is? I can't remember that. Yeah. Oh my god, he's so young in that. That's. I feel like I should rewatch that movie because I was like 13.
Do you have 3 hours?
Hmm?
Yeah, if you have 3 hours.
I know it's long too. Oh my god! I don't know if I have 3 hours for that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you just got Animal Crossing.
I think I have a lot to do in my Animal Crossing island.
And you have all these podcasts, and you have a husband, you have pets. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's. I'll tell you what happens. He draws her, and then they die. Well, he does. but I think it was chalk or something, and then
the granddaughter
gets it.
At the end?
It.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know.
I don't really remember. Did they put Kate Winslet in old face during that?
That would have been amazing. No,
or is
but
it just
it was
an old lady?
It was a whole different person. I wish it was Kate Winslet. Yeah. Show her range, you know?
That would have been wild.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but nope, not the way we don't always get what we want. And
no.
That was, like you said, maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy. I have a question here from a listener.
Okay.
Okay. This is for you, Lauren. This is from Maribel in Chicago. She says, Lauren, what are the biggest misconceptions of improv?
Oh, God. I would say there are some misconceptions that maybe aren't misconceptions, but from my perspective, maybe. But because I want to say, that it's all really bad or that it's dorky. Mm. And I think that my argument.
Dorky. Yeah, the dorky is not bad.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But my argument would be that some of it is really bad and some of it is really dorky. And maybe it's inherently dorky to do it, and that's fine, I guess. But I think there's, like, because there's so much happening right now and it's, like, spreading into the world in a way, like, into media in a way that we've never seen before over these past few years, I feel like every show references an improv class now. Like, you see it in everything.
It's very true.
They make fun of it so much, and often, like, the making fun of it is correct. Like, it's spot on. Like, the way that people make, like, parody in improv class, it's right, because so often improv classes are, like, really rough. Like, the people aren't good yet, and so it's bad. But that also gives the idea that, like, it gives the impression to, like, mainstream audiences that it's always bad, because when you see these comedy shows, like The Office or something, like, do a fake improv class, it's, like, it goes horribly awry. So my argument against that would be that you just have to see a lot of improv to understand what good improv is, but that requires commitment. So I don't know if everyone's interested in doing that. But I think that there is
totally.
Like the feeling that people are kind of turning against improv lately a little bit in mainstream culture, I think. But they're gonna fucking figure it out, and they're gonna want us, and they're gonna love it again, okay?
You got to watch it to learn what's good and bad. You got to see the good. Well, also, like, if you're seeing it played out bad on TV and they're selling it, it's because they're good improvisers.
That's true,
right?
Too.
Or performers,
yeah,
possibly.
Like the yeah. The bad improv scene on TV is bad and good because the people are good doing it. There's many levels to this.
Yeah. I did a comedy panel recently where the moderator was an improviser, and it was just me and another stand-up comedian. There were a few other improvisers on the panel, but I feel like it wasn't it was the only time that, and I feel bad for saying it now, but at the time I was feeling like I was getting attacked. So I was like, oh, because the moderator said, what do you think is worse, seeing bad stand-up or seeing bad improv?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And, okay, like, what oh, do you think? What do you think? What's your opinion?
Well, I was like, God, this is such a terrible question to ask. You're trying to divide us, you know?
Yeah.
It's improvisers and stand-ups on this panel. And so I didn't say anything, but I had to sit through like 10 minutes of the improvisers bashing bad stand-up.
Oh, see, because I actually think bad improv is worse than bad stand-up. Like, I would rather watch bad stand-up that is prepared and I just don't like it than watching people do a really cringy improv set, which I've definitely been a part of. Like, I mean, it's painful. And I'm sure it's as painful to do bad improv as it is to do bad stand-up. Like, when you're feeling like you're bombing on it, it's equally horrible.
Right.
But watching bad improv is painful because there's something about people, and I mean, both are bad. Anything bad is bad to watch. So yeah, it's like, kind of hard to compare. But watching people throw themselves into a bad improv scene that there's like, for some reason, no way out of and they can't fix it is like,
well, you just do the... You just run out of it, no?
I know, but people never do. That's the thing. Like, when it's going really bad, it's like you just keep going like, we can't edit this until there's a laugh here. So let's just get a laugh. And it's like, well, it's not coming, sweetie. Like, you got to just run. We'll forget faster. Right. Just go.
But I feel like I would be that person running all the time, probably too soon, just because I'm so insecure in it.
I trust anything. You're like, no.
Yeah. That I would definitely get kicked off the team. But yeah, that I was like, oh man, everyone's saying bad stand-up is worse. And so I finally was like, eh. And then the moderator was like, Atsuko, you just made a noise. And I was like, he was like, what, you disagree? And I was like, he was like, you think bad improv is worse? And I was like, there's like five of you. How the fuck can you get it wrong? And
that's a great point. Working with other people, so... also the good part about when it goes bad is that you can blame them. Like,
right,
it's like, it's all of us. Like, I kind of messed up, but like, you also really didn't help me out or like whatever. You can kind of like,
right,
throw the blame.
Totally.
With stand up, I mean, after a bad set, I'm sure it's a lot harder to get over. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I might work on, sometimes I want to do that. Maybe I'll start running. Is that what is the term? I keep saying running and I know that's not the term. Is it just an edit?
Edit, yeah. But if you did stand up and you just edited yourself every time it didn't go well, you're just running in circles, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. You know, like, again, if I ever bomb, but
Right, you'd have to save it for that time or something goes wrong.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You heard it here first, Maribel. You gotta go and watch improv when the lockdown is lifted. Yeah.
Well, and also, I think if you are someone improv. Who's in the lockdown with us all right now, that if you like improv, this is a great time to get into improv podcasts. Because I think back to like starting improv, I really wish I had access to podcasts because I would have listened to them all the time and learned so much about how to improvise from that. Like, it's just such a cool resource that is available now.
Right. Yeah, totally. Which, to offset the amount of bad improv scenes that they're putting on the TV. You know? And I feel like I've seen that scene so much where like a girl breaks up with a guy because he keeps inviting her to improv shows or something.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, it's always funny to me. I like watching those scenes in shows. Because it's like kind of the truth reflected back, but I always fear that it makes people think improv sucks and they might. So that's fine. Yes.
Right. And that they're always practicing, which you are.
It's up to a certain point. Like, I mean, for the first like probably like 8 years of doing improv, or 10 years, I was rehearsing like multiple times a week and doing shows. I mean, it's like so much. You're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, the stand-up world, I think, is, I would have a harder time with what's required of you, because when you're starting out and you're not good yet, with an improv group, it's like, well, I have this team of people. It's kind of a social life. Like, I'm going to hang out with them. And I'm sure stand-up has that too, when you go to like the certain comedy clubs and stuff and you have the people you see. But you have to have the motivation within you to leave your apartment and go do the stand-up set that you might be horrible at by yourself at a weird place where you don't know anyone, and then go home like, oh my God, I would like be panicking all the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's always a teeter though. You know, this quarantine, when this quarantine happened, I was like, God, a lot of people are just going to quit stand up because it was like, it took a lot for me to even just leave by myself.
That is so true. I actually was thinking, I think a lot of people will break up from this, and I think maybe a lot of people will quit doing certain things. That's interesting. I wonder what the consequences of all this will be. But I was thinking a lot of people will not get married who are planning to get married.
Yeah, or get married faster because you're just quarantined with that person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Actually, a comedian friend of mine got engaged during quarantine. They were just boyfriend and girlfriend, but they were like, you're starting to seem more like a life partner, you know? I think this is forever. So they just got engaged. Yeah. And I think we're going to see a little bit of that. Or like, you know,
yeah,
roommates.
It'll probably be both ways. Yeah. Roommates hooking up.
Yeah. Just being like, fuck it. Who else do we have? You know,
God, can you imagine how crazy that would be if you just like were just friends with your roommate, and then during this you hooked up and it got weird, and then you're like, I guess we fuck now.
That would be, yeah, so crazy. Totally. Yeah. at least for a few more months, and you got a taste, even if it was sour, it's like,
you got a taste.
You know, well, shit, I guess it's still just me and you. And then you're kind of in a marriage, because even if you don't do romantic things, like let's say you only hooked up once and you just do groceries together, you're like 10 years into a marriage already. Like, you know what I mean?
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah. Yeah.
So I saw that you cut your husband's hair, right?
I did. I did. That was like day two. Like, we like went hard into this. I don't know why.
Well,
it was
you
so
were
sudden.
You were like, we need to cut hairs now, like that. Just like day two, groom now. And
yes, I think it was like maybe a few days in, but he needed a haircut, and it also was one of those things where like I was really feeling depressed instantly from everything that was happening. So I just like put on a wig and cut his hair on Instagram Live, and it was really fun and distracted me for like a good 45 minutes. But his hair is really fucked up, and anytime I showed the back, everyone was laughing. And I actually don't think I understood why it was bad. Like, I'm like, I just shouldn't cut his hair because I don't know, like, what is good. But I was like, why is it bad? Like, it's not that bad. But people, like, think it's hilarious looking in the back. So it's just
what
me looking at
think?
It.
Well, I mean, between interacting with the folks going live and cutting his hair, you know, you couldn't focus all your attention.
I was very distracted. I was also in character. So there were like a lot of layers was happening. And so it didn't turn out great. But then this girl who's like a hairstylist messaged me and told me what kind of scissors and comb to buy for the next time I do it, and said she would teach me how to do it. So it might come to that.
Ooh, okay. So even if you had the right tools, you being in character and going live, I think, well, you got it down. That's
it'll work out.
Nature. Like, being in character is, like, natural for you. So that's not a distraction.
Not hard. Have you had to cut your husband's hair?
No, he won't let me. But he has cut my hair.
He has? Well, yeah, your hair would be noticeable if it got long. I mean, you have short bangs.
I know. I chose such a hard dude to upkeep, you know, during a pandemic that we didn't foresee, you know, and so... So he took like 45 minutes too, but as he got confident, he got quicker and quicker. He's like, oh yeah, I got this. I was like, okay, easy.
It looks really good though. It looks like your normal haircut. Like, I feel like he did an amazing job.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. Well, it made me think, because you were talking about like people are going to break up more, you know, like how many separations have like a bad haircut caused?
Oh my God.
Time?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
we're seeing a lot of haircuts on Instagram.
Banana bread.
A lot of banana bread, a lot of sourdough.
Sourdough.
Have you made bread in this time?
I haven't made bread. I'm not a kitchen person, and so quarantine hasn't changed me.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be really extreme for me to suddenly make bread. I've never wanted to do that, and I just have no interest. And but I do think people were doing it like instantly, and there was something mm-hmm. interesting about that. Like the second you have to stay home, everyone's like, I gotta make my own bread. And like that's not true. Like there's so much bread. There's so much bread available
in the world. Yeah, it's very true.
Like you can order it. Like I'm sure there's many ways to get bread right now. I haven't run out of bread yet, but even if I ran out, I think it'd be fine. I don't really need bread also. Like, you know what I mean? Like bread's not essential, but.
What if you were going live as a character? Would that, now would you make bread?
Yes. Honestly, like that's just to entertain myself. So yeah, I would do anything in character pretty much on Instagram at this point. I thought at first, like, I don't know how I'll be able to do this kind of like to do comedy during this, or I feel like really depressed, or it's like bumming me out to do comedy. But now I'm finding like, and I mean, right away, pretty much I was finding that it was helping me so much because I was just like forgetting about everything for that period of time and helping other people forget. Like I can't really do anything else. So if I could at least like distract someone for like 45 minutes, then that's something.
That's what it is. Like making bread doesn't make me forget.
Yes. Making bread makes me remember. Like,
yes.
I have to make this because we're going to olden times and everything is bad.
Yeah. Just like generational trauma will run through me. I don't think even it ran in my people. It's not in my blood, but for some reason I'll get stories of like, you know, Bertha from Ukraine, you know, and oh my God, women back in the, oh, just kneading that dough. It takes so long. It will not help me. It's not an escapism thing.
No, when I'm seeing a lot of bread turn out poorly, like the people will be like, oh, I burned the bottom. I'm like, well, that sucks. Like, you know, like
now
it's not
you gotta
even,
eat it? Yeah. Yeah, for a whole week, because that's how long bread lasts.
I know. So. Well, I tried a new chocolate chip cookie recipe from this Mormon mommy blogger that I follow, who I've been following for like 10 years. And
do you talk to each other? Or
no,
are you just
no.
A fan
she's unaware.
Afar?
Yeah. I have a few Mormon blogs that I read almost daily, but they now are all on Instagram, so it's even easier to follow them. But I looked up her chocolate chip recipe, which was the best chocolate chip. It was the worst chocolate chip recipe I've ever had in my life. And I was so upset because I have limited resources. And I'm like, I just wasted eggs on this shit. The dough was like crumbly and I still ate every single cookie. I baked them all and ate them all and they were really bad. But like, we're just in this time where you just have to do that.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
These are the stakes that I'm dealing with.
Hold on. Have you tried her other recipes? That's why you were like, this is the one.
No.
This is the recipe I'm going to try.
She has five kids and she was like, this is the best chocolate chip cookie recipe. And I'm like, if you have five kids and you say it's the best chocolate chip cookie recipe, like it is probably really good.
But she like doesn't drink coffee and stuff and enjoy things
her,
like
that. That's such a good point. Like her bar is like low. Maybe she's like, I like crumbly, horrible dough.
Her taste buds are going to be different than yours because there's just certain things that she doesn't do in her life, like, you know, wear a thong or something.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, she has five kids and she lives in New York City and she escaped the pandemic in an RV recently and her fucking fans went off. Like everyone in her comments was like, you're doing the wrong thing and this is bad and you know it's wrong and blah, blah, blah. And you're going to go spread it and all this stuff. And then she had a long post about her feelings about it and everything. It's just been, have you seen, I feel like there are a lot of these things happening with like celebrities or people with a big following where they'll do like the thing that is against what we're saying to do right now. And then everyone just like unleashes on them.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And she got the,
she
tail
got
end
the attack.
Of it.
But yeah, I think Evangeline Lilly has been the craziest one. Have you seen her posts?
What does she do?
She was on Lost and she posted like right at the beginning, like my kids are at gymnastics and they are wash their hands and they're fine. Like she just was like, this isn't real. And like everyone can go do everything. And then people were just like, you're irresponsible. Like so many other celebrities were commenting being like, you're wrong and insane. And then she eventually apologized, I think. But it's just been kind of crazy to watch those things unfold.
No, totally. I've only seen it in the evangelical world with my father-in-law, but
yeah,
but mostly they all support each other. So they're like, yes, it's Easter. We had to go to church, you know, it's the day.
Yeah.
And so it was mostly just my husband yelling at him. That was all, you know, yeah. So it's different. But because you said Mormon, I was like, oh, I wonder. I mean, it's cool. She has a following that's like, seems mainstream.
She does. She's like really pretty and her family is really cute. And they're like very anthropology-esque. Like they're, you know what I mean? It's like all like everything's decorated really cute. And they're just like likable looking people. And she's also like a dancer. So she like is like, she'll do like dance things and like it's cute. And
yeah.
She's just like a fun person to follow. But it's always interesting when you see people do something that you just don't agree with and you have to decide where you stand. But
yeah, well, you got two things against her. You got that the chocolate chip cookie she needs to explain.
And I was going to post on her. I was going to post that this chocolate chip debacle is the worst thing that you've done in the last few weeks, but I didn't. I just wanted to say
you were like, oh, she's already dealing with the people being like, why'd you take off in an RV? Yeah,
totally. And I like don't know that like my joke comment is going to like land there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, you're a good person.
Yeah. I just need to like, I'll just watch. I also, yeah, I don't like to get too involved in negative comment things. I've done it a few times and it always feels really bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's one time I created an account just to join a site so I could say something bad about Bam. Do you remember Bam?
What Bam remember? From
Bam?
Jackass.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 To like say something mean about him. This was years ago, and I was like, I didn't feel good doing that, but I was so for some reason obsessively mad about like I was like, you treat your family like shit, you know. I was,
oh my god, that's hilarious. I did it one time too that I can remember where I it was not long ago. It was also another blogger that I follow, and I got really upset because she posts a lot of comics that aren't funny, like and it's not by her, like she's like, this is hilarious, and she'll post like a comic strip from someone. And it's so they've never been funny. And I always get mad because I'm like, this just isn't funny. And then I wrote on it, like, this isn't a comic. Like, this is not a comic strip. This isn't funny. There's no joke. This is a drawing. And then they deleted or like didn't post my comment on the blog. And I later checked on that and saw that. And I was like, I'm an asshole. Like, why am I trying to get involved? And like, just let this person draw a picture I don't like. Who cares?
Sure, sure. But I do think it's funny that it's because you were like, for the love of comedy, hello, do you know comedy?
Yeah,
like,
you know? This made you laugh. Like, this didn't make you laugh. This is a drawing you thought was cute or something, but it's not funny.
Yeah. No, you know what? Like, I'm kind of with you with that. I get kind of upset about petty things like that. Like, yeah, yeah. And then things that matter, too, I get mad about.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I think I can see it come out in myself that like I'm being petty because I'm too overwhelmed by the things that really matter. Like I have like a serious problem in my life that I'm depressed about. And it's like very clearly that's why I'm taking it out on this random comment section. Like,
for sure,
and I know that in myself. So I try to think that when I see people like being mean to me or people that I like, I'm like, they're just sad about something and that's okay.
Totally. But totally. I probably wanted to sleep with Bam. Who knows? But I can't recall now. But
right, you'll never know what led you to do that. But
if I had to guess, it's the probably age old. Oh, it's because you want to fuck them.
Yeah,
you know. And so, yeah, Lauren, can we play a game really quick?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Now you know this is still Let's Go Otsko where we play games, but it's not as you can see. You have no other contestants with you. You were on the live show.
Yeah.
Which
was so fun.
You were amazing. You were amazing.
Thanks.
You were hilarious. You did not win. But
no. Did Cameron win? I'm trying to remember.
Oh yeah, Cameron won. But you know, I didn't judge who won. So
yeah, it's fair.
I'm just here to state facts.
It's totally fine. I'm over it. You know, I've worked through it in therapy and stuff.
Yeah, but you stand amongst other great losers, and so I was like so stoked to have you back, and now you'll win this game because you are playing against yourself.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay. So this, so at this time, you know, some teenagers, a lot of teenagers are having to spend some pivotal months at home during this quarantine, you know, which means they're having to learn life lessons and heartaches, not from being out in the world, but via movies and TV, you know, or memes. What were some pivotal teen movies for you when you were growing up?
Oh, my God. Can't Hardly Wait, American Pie. Those come to mind instantly. But even when I was younger, teen movies are more exciting when you're like not a teen yet. I feel I know there are a lot, but I loved all of like Breakfast Club and like 16 Candles. Yeah, those are the things that Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, that's a great point that it's more exciting before you're a teen.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that's what it's going to be like.
Yeah. And you have that dream. Like, I really thought my hair would just like become like Kelly Kapowski. Like when I was 16, I would just have like thick, huge bangs. And that was not.
Did you?
No. I looked
okay.
Like, essentially, I just looked like someone who didn't care about doing their hair because I never brushed it. So that was the vibe.
Yeah. You were a trendsetter. You were your own.
Yes.
Okay. Well, in this game, you have to guess if I'm referring to a heartbreaking scene or an uplifting scene from a teen movie.
Okay.
Only catch is I'll be singing the song. Ready?
Okay.
This one's from the movie Lady Bird, which people are calling a teen movie, so I'm counting it.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. Now, so you might recall this song in the movie, maybe not. Tell me if it's a heartbreaking scene or an uplifting scene, okay?
Okay.
You've got your ball, you've got your chain, tied to me tight, tie me up again. Do you have any, are you seeing a scene come to mind?
I'm starting to remember that part. I think they're in a car. I think that it is uplifting.
Into me, yeah. Me helping. You think it's uplifting?
The song, you singing it helps a lot, just in general.
Bring the memories back of watching that movie and them in the car.
I think they're. Hmm. I think it's uplifting. I think they're in a car. I think it's a happy moment. Is that accurate?
The song is uplifting, and I would think so too. But unfortunately, actually, you know what? You get half a point because the song plays twice in the movie.
I did think it started from a bad thing and then ends up being like a sort of happier time later or something, right? Is that accurate?
That's it. Okay. That's it, yeah. The first time you hear it, it's because she walks in on her boyfriend making out with another boy.
Oh, that was such a good part. Yeah.
And it's Dave Matthews Band, Crash Into Me. The second time you hear it, it's her new boyfriend and... he's like, I hate this song. The song's playing. And then she's like, I actually like it. And to signify she's over this new guy.
That's cute.
So yeah.
Okay, that was fun.
You got that.
Okay. I mean, half and half.
Half and half, yeah. Drink it with your coffee. all right. This one is from Save the Last Dance. Teen movie. Okay, well, this one's going to be a little hard for me to sing. Okay, is this a heartbreaking scene or an uplifting scene? Okay. Ooh, say what? Yeah. Ooh, girl, you know what's up. Ooh, say what? What are you picturing right now? Ooh, say what?
I'm trying to picture that movie. I'm picturing them at a club. I'm picturing them in that apartment that she's in with her dad.
Interesting, because this is part of a montage, so you're seeing a lot of different scenes. Yeah. They are in various places.
I'm going to say it's, what are my options?
Heartbreaking scene or an uplifting scene?
I'm going to say heartbreaking.
Oh.
Wrong?
Actually, it's an uplifting montage that you're watching. You know, it's this ballet girl and hip hop guy, you know, learning each other's dance moves.
That song, they use that for that montage? Wow.
Yeah. How does the rest go? Me and my people be rolling, scheming on you and your homies. So it's like, you know, different worlds come together. Mm. And I think it ends in a kiss.
Well, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I get a point removed or do I just not get a point?
I think you just not get a point. And I think, you know, you got half a point, which means, you know, you're going against nobody. So that is, it would appear you won this game.
Oh, wow.
Well, we got claps from producers in here. Wow. Thank you so much.
I didn't realize it'd be so fast, but I love that I won.
I wanted to give you that win after that live show.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
The judge was mean, Jared Goldstein.
The judge, like, he said I sang horribly, and he's not wrong, but damn, you know?
If I can recall, not to bring back bad memories, mm-hmm. but I think he said, your head voice is trash.
I recall that. Yeah, I recall that. And I thought, yeah, sure. First of all, I've never said it was good, but also, Britney's head voice, I think, has its issues. I think she's great, but you know.
And so Lauren sang Lucky by Britney Spears, and you know, you were sort of playing a character. So
I was being Britney. I was doing an impression of Britney, so it could be a bad impression, but mm-hmm. It doesn't really tell you anything about my head voice.
That's right. Nobody ever said I'm singing in my actual voice for this challenge.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But I'm over it though. I'm over it. Fully, as you can tell.
No, I'm glad because now you've won. I'm gonna go back into the Excel sheet and just change that up. I'm just gonna switch Cameron and Lauren.
Okay, so you keep a chart just so you know how to like hurt people in the future. Like
Well, once the lockdown's over, I actually plan on having a losers and winners. Let's go odds go live show.
Oh, that's really fun.
Losers go together. So I would have a few because there's been so many shows. But yeah. So like all the losers go together and then all the winners have to go head to head.
That's very fun.
You know, kind of like, what is it, like the Real World or something?
Real World Road Rules Challenge kind of thing.
Yeah.
Best of. I love that.
Yeah. Best of. Yeah. Yeah. Or like the villains. Maybe I'll do a villains one. Yeah. 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 Well, we have come to the end of the podcast, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
You're doing your podcast that people can hear on Patreon. Is there anything else?
Yeah, so Newcomers is free, the Star Wars one, but I have a Patreon where I am doing like watch-alongs with movies where you can sync up the movie to the podcast and kind of hear my commentary with my husband. And I do improv on there and all kinds of stuff. So that's just patreon.com/Lauren Lapkus. And right now I'm recurring on Good Girls on NBC, so you can catch me on that on Sundays for a little
bit. Watch it now. And you just did a Goofy movie, right?
Yeah, we just did a watch along for a Goofy movie. It's up there right now, and that was fun. We just did it last night. And I was thrilled because the movie is short, and we've been doing some Star Wars watch alongs on there, and they're so long. I'm like, I want to stay engaged all the time, but you're talking for like 2.5 hours at that point about everything you're seeing, and it's just a lot.
For sure. Thank you, Goofy Movie, for breaking it up, you know? Well, thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you.
That was Let's Go, Let's Go. Goodbye.
That was fun.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.